As Trump's second impeachment trial begins, a Republican congressman from Bloomington Normal is largely on his own, and he's rejecting calls for GOP unity.
Count me in, and I'll fight to my political death for it, because it's that important.
That's Adam Kinzinger. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Wednesday, February 10th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the second impeachment trial against former President Donald Trump and one Republican's lonely crusade to seek a conviction. More from Eric Stock.
Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger says he has talked with a few U.S. senators to encourage them to convict former President Trump at his second impeachment trial. Kinzinger was one of 10 Republicans in the House who voted to impeach Trump for inciting the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. But Kinzinger says it's likely Republicans will vote to acquit and then Trump will claim victory.
There's no doubt he's going to come out and say he survived again. He's uniquely able to see something embarrassing and that's a massive failure, like being impeached twice, as something to rally a base around or to be excited about.
LaSalle County Republicans have censured Kinzinger for his impeachment vote. Kinzinger says he won't lose an ounce of sleep over that. Kinzinger is a McLean County native, and he's been in Congress for six terms. Kinzinger says he has faced backlash from constituents, friends, even family over his vote to impeach. He says he rejects calls for unity from GOP leadership.
But I'm not going to unify under the banner of where we're at right now. And if it takes public, quote-unquote, warfare over the definition of what Republicanism is, count me in and I'll fight to my political death for it because it's that important.
Kinzinger says he didn't anticipate his recent Country First video would spark a movement. In it, Kinzinger calls for the Republican Party to reject conspiracy theories and return to conservative values. Kinzinger says he hopes to use the movement to support local and statewide candidates for office.
The only basic thing is you have one rule. That is, you got to tell the people the truth and don't peddle in conspiracy. And be optimistic. Don't peddle in fear.
Kinzinger also says he hasn't made plans to run for statewide office next year, but he says he hasn't ruled it out either. Kinzinger represents the 16th Congressional District that covers much of north central and northeastern Illinois. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Eight more McLean County residents have died from COVID-related complications. The local death toll is now 160, mostly from long-term care facilities. The testing positivity rate ticked up to 4.2%. Bloomberg is reporting that Rivian has been talking to bankers about going public as soon as September at a valuation of about $50 billion and perhaps more. And the Bloomington Liquor Commission has fined two establishments for violating COVID mitigation rules in January and four others for tax violations. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. COVID-19 has made helping homeless students even more complicated. IPR's Peter Medlin reports on the challenges they face with remote learning without a permanent place to stay.
This school year, schools identified around 420,000 fewer homeless students than last year. That would normally be a hopeful sign, but not during the pandemic. Advocates say there aren't fewer students experiencing homelessness, it's just that schools can't find them. Deb Faust is a lead area homeless liaison. She helps schools across over a dozen northern Illinois counties identify and provide resources to families according to the McKinney-Vento Act, which guarantees the right to education for homeless students.
I don't know if I believe we've got less kids, I just think things are falling through the cracks.
Last year, Faust says they identified close to 4,000 homeless students. This year, they've identified 1,500 fewer students, the majority from Rockford Public Schools. If they don't get identified, they may not know they have their right to education.
We don't have a lot of shelters for families to even live in, let alone our unaccompanied youth, the kids that are not living with their parent or a legal guardian. And if they're under 18, the shelters aren't able to take them, you know, so it's like, where are these poor kids going?
Faust stresses most of these families work marginal jobs, or even losing a little bit of their income is devastating.
They have tried to maintain their jobs. They have tried to be good stewards of their resources. They still have fallen into this McKinney-Vento situation.
Staggering unemployment rates have pushed many families out of their homes. Barbara Duffield is the executive director of Schoolhouse Connection. They're a nonprofit that advocates for policy and helps provide direct assistance to schools and communities.
Most children who are experiencing homelessness are not in shelters. They're staying temporarily with other people where they're really at their mercy.
That means they're excluded from rent relief, eviction moratoriums, and other federal homeless assistance. And moving from couch to couch could also expose families to COVID-19. And schools are a lifeline for homeless students. They offer food, support services, and a safe place to learn. But in the age of remote and hybrid learning, meeting those students' needs is more complicated. According to a survey from Schoolhouse Connection, internet access and shelter housing are students' two biggest unmet needs. Erin Strauss is a homeless student liaison and counselor in Rochelle. She's made home visits to drop off computers for remote learning, but she says they still have a handful of families without reliable internet.
Internet connectivity, it's a constant battle for us to get hotspots for education, and it's taking forever.
The district also drove a bus around the different locations in the community as a roving Wi-Fi beacon. Strauss has also seen families on the brink of being homeless struggle to get government-subsidized housing paperwork approved.
This particular family was doing everything right. Everything that we suggested, everything that the apartment housing was suggested, and it just seems like there was nothing that they could do.
Deb Faust says remote learning often puts those students out of sight of the people who notice they don't have a permanent place to stay.
The identification of these kids come from all different type of staff at the district level. Bus drivers, because they're seeing where the kids are getting on and off. The cafeteria workers, of course, the nurses and social workers.
Schools have been using food and tech deliveries to give out McKinney-Vinso information. They also have to rely more on community groups, too. Unfortunately, the grant funding Faust gets from the McKinney-Vinso Act can't be used for everything. They can't directly pay for rents or utilities, which she says is the most common request from families. Along with education, she says they can set them up with a link card for food and help them get emergency child care. And they go through a lot of gas cards in the winter. Barbara Duffield with Schoolhouse Connection stresses that because of the trauma caused by homelessness, the solution is beyond just housing.
You have to have education. If these children and youth are going to have a fighting chance of getting a job that pays a living wage, of being healthy in the future.
The CARES Act didn't allocate money specifically for homeless students. Schoolhouse Connection is lobbying Congress to pass the Emergency Family Stabilization Act, which would provide flexible funding for schools to meet housing and health emergency needs. Duffield says before COVID-19, public schools identified a bit more than half of homeless high school students. With hundreds of thousands not being counted this year, experts say up to 1 million students could be without the services and education they're guaranteed. I'm Peter Medlin.
Before we let you go, the McLean County Board of Health meets tonight at 5:30, and both the Unit 5 and District 87 school boards meet at 6:30. That is it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines. The Motor City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at cira.com.